I'm going to lose the property because I can't find financing. I walk in, they start laughing at me, TK. We're not lending you any money. You're wearing a suit. You're not a real builder. Get out of here. I go out, I drive home, and I break down. And I'm like, I don't know how to make a budget. I don't know how to make a construction plan. What? I don't even know really how to build a house because I'm pushing to get things done because I feel like this impending doom. There were days where it seemed like it would probably have been easier to just go bankrupt. Everybody's been asking to go deeper into the destruction of Daryl. I feel naked and unprepared.
A little bit less prepared than usual, if that's even possible.
If it's even possible to be less prepared
to record this podcast, we have managed to do it today, folks.
I can be, I have been, and I will be.
And I'm going to do it again.
And I will.
I will make sure that I'm the least prepared podcaster you've ever seen.
And you're going to like it, audience.
Speaking of likes, have you liked this video yet?
That's right.
Have you subscribed to the channel yet?
Maybe check out the Instagram, perhaps.
Ooh, very interesting.
Yeah.
And if you want to book a call with me, check it out in the Calendly below. Now, you know, my number may or may not be out there in the universe somewhere on online. And you may feel the need to just call me random times during the day just to check in on me, to say hello and what your thoughts are. And I want to talk to you all. I really do. But if you book it through the Calendly, I'd really appreciate it. Then that way, you know, we can have a nice 15-minute conversation about really anything you'd like. And I'll even give you a free t-shirt afterwards, too. Ooh-wee!
Yeah, like, comment, subscribe. I'm double subscribed. Do it yourself. Didn't get to fix the show, though. Didn't get to fix the show.
Please subscribe. And
that's right. And you can even reach me through calling TK, apparently. Right, TK?
If you need to get to Daryl, you can also just call me because that's what people do anyway.
Apparently,
so I'm happy
you can't
to
find me
you
online,
and Daryl.
Right?
I'm Daryl's secretary.
That's right. You can't find me somehow.
I'll first be like, how serious does this... One, do I think you might murder Daryl? Yes or no? No? Okay. Check
does that
two.
Bump you up on the list or push you
do
down?
Do I think you're going to annoy Daryl? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Either way, I'll probably still send him your way. And the third one is, you know, how much, you know, information do I think Daryl can learn from you? And, you know, if you got some good information, then you pass the test. I'll send you to Daryl. I'll connect you.
Well, you connected me with a couple people this week. It was nice to see you in person today, TK.
Yeah. Daryl, you crushed it today.
Crushed it. I'm crushing it all over the place.
No, you crushed it today. You know what? I was like, you know what? I do it all the time. I'm meeting new people every day. So I'm always dealing with people and explaining what it is that I do and how I can help them and all that kind of stuff. That's my job. But, you know, that's not something that you don't get out very much.
I don't get out very much.
You don't get out very much. But today you went out there and you crushed it.
I went out into the real world and I crushed it. Was it? I mean, TK, this is the second time you're telling me that I was so great in this meeting today. Was I so good that you just have the need to tell me this? Like, what's going on here?
I would say what it was is that, you know, you're up to speed. And because you're up to speed, it means that it commands some authority, because knowing what happened last night at the planning meeting really is the key to it all.
That's right.
Whoever holds that information.
Well, yesterday, I sat through the entire planning meeting. This is how dedicated I am. But I mean, I got
a
lot.
Developer right there.
Well, I have a lot vested in what's going on. Yeah. If you remember, TK, I mean, I've been looking at stuff in this new kind of neighborhood's vein for quite some time, right? Mm-hmm. If you go back to the Parkdale days.
Yeah.
That was cutting edge stuff back then. That was like.
I know. You're on top. Edge. You were making the city think about things that they hadn't even thought about yet.
Well, I did yesterday too. I think I was. Yeah. I think I was extraordinarily helpful at this meeting, and I think I brought maybe a little comic relief. I don't know. No, I was pretty serious. Probably. I don't know if you heard it, but
I didn't hear it. No,
it was a good meeting. They passed the new.
I could not sit through a 3-hour, 4-hour planning meeting.
Hour would have been easy. Easy would have been 3 hours. I don't know, 9:30 till 5:00. Like, we shut the place down.
Yeah.
We shut that place down. There were so many people
I
that
would
talked.
Not be able to sit through that meeting.
Well, you see, it's most people won't be able to sit through it. But if you can, if you're
is there
reading,
like a highlight?
Well, if you
like a highlight reel,
it's not much of a highlight reel. But like if you're just watching and listening, you kind of see what people want, right? Mm-hmm. And if you're a smart developer and you don't want to fight, then you can maybe come up with some ways of appeasing the counselors that are, because some of them are trying to get more houses out there, believe it or not. Like they're trying really hard.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what goes on with these guys, because it's like one minute it's like, oh yeah, I don't think we should let them build more houses. You're right. The shadow's going to ruin your backyard. And like, you're my constituent and I love you. And I'm going to make sure that those builders don't build anything. And then they go into the planning meeting and they're like, holy cow, we need more housing fast. And the young population can't get into the housing market. And we got to do something about this right now. And I'm going to make a motion for this and blah, 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 blah. And then it's like,
so they're just talking out of both sides of their mouth.
It feels possibly like it. And then on top of it is you have like, it's a theater. Okay. You have, it's so obvious what agendas certain people are trying to push and what side of the discussion.
Let's do a role. Let's do a, right? like a little acting thing here.
We can try.
Let's
we
try. Can try. All right. All right. So,
who am I? Who
does
am
anybody, you can be just one of like the Karens in the audience, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
Does anybody, have anything further to say about this matter of, Mr. Smith building his fence 6 inches higher than he was supposed to, according to the current zoning bylaws?
Well, you know, I've lived in this community for a really long time, and I've watched my kids grow up in this area, and now I'm going to watch my grandkids grow up in this area, and if there's an extra 3 inches of fence on top of the existing fence that's there, that's been there for my entire life, then I don't think I'll be able to see the berries when they grow every season, and then life as I know it will not be able to exist. And then we like, this is the stuff you listen to.
I'd like to just submit my report on
traffic.
The alfalfa berries. We got alfalfa berries that have been growing here for about 60 years. They're an endangered species of alfalfa berries.
It's just nonsense.
I'd like to just submit the reports that we've got and request that we, you know, maybe bring this matter to next council meeting so we can further determine if those alfalfa berries are going to be endangered or not. These are the things that happen.
But
and everyone's the berries. I don't know. Like, I don't even know. There's no reports. We don't even know if the berries. Is this a thing? Let's just wait. We don't want to make a decision. We could find out later on. We made the wrong decision. We hurt the berries.
So are you saying that if we pass this legislation, that it won't go quite the way that we've planned and it won't work out properly? You wouldn't say that, would you?
Yeah.
Like in court, it'd be leading the witness every 2 seconds. But now it's just
there,
like,
are no berries. I just Googled it. Alfalfa berries don't even. Who is that guy?
These alfalfa berries.
You know?
Anyways.
Who is him?
It's a weird theater, but it's a necessity. It's a process. You have to go through it. And eventually.
You nailed it, though. You killed it. Come on. You crushed it. Don't be modest. You crushed it.
I crushed it. I'm crushing it all over the place. Actually, yeah. I'm crushing it so hard, TK. I wanted to announce to everybody here, maybe this can help me out, because generally I don't ask much from our audience. I have no call to action as you do at the moment. And
you
so
don't even
like
let people have to go through me just to get to you.
Like that's right. It's like we're building walls. But we'd like to build even more walls here at Deal Core Properties. So, TK, we are looking to hire a development manager. So if there's anybody out here in the audience that is,
what are the required skills of a
job,
development manager?
Experienced. What are the skills? I mean, well, first of all, you need to have some experience for the position, but like you have to know how to
it's
develop
one of those
a
jobs
property
that you can't get out without not the experience, much. But that, you know, like I don't have the experience and now I can't get the job.
Oh, yes. I have many experiences with the development management in the city of Toronto.
I feel like somebody's going to apply with no experience, but say that they have experience.
Much experience.
Where would that person be, that development manager? Where would they be working right now in order to come work at Deal Core Properties? Like, what's it?
But listen, guys are hurting out there. They're slowing down. Nobody's launching anything.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that there's a good opportunity for somebody that wants to or needs to.
Especially if you've worked at a big developer, you know, maybe they're underpaying you or not treating you right. Maybe. This is your opportunity. This is your chance.
If you want to be really underpaid, well, then this is your chance for sure.
That's not what I was going to say. I was going to say this is the way for you to be able to make a name for yourself.
Well, listen, I mean, we're doing some pretty amazing things over here.
Awesome.
Nobody knows about it, but nobody has to, right? We're just doing
it. I know about it.
We're just doing them. You know about it. I know about it.
I'm part of the team. Whatever hat I'm wearing that day, that's I'm right. part of the team. That's it.
I'm going to have to send you one of these hats, baby.
I need one of those hats, yeah.
That's right. You are part of the team. So anyways, speaking of development, and I put out a tweet. So because we met today, we were in an area that is near and dear to my heart, as well as my sphincter, because it's where I started my real estate career. And,
it's painful.
You know,
Well,
I mean, it is bittersweet because there is some beautiful memories in this area and there are some not so beautiful
memories.
How
often do you drive by those houses?
Every time I'm in the area, to be honest with you. I drive by
today.
And that's okay. so this is Hold where on, I'm going, right?
I know, but maybe we should save it for later on in the show.
Well, we can save it, but let me at least say what we're saving.
You can give
right?
an intro.
Let me give
save
a
it for the
bit,
end of the show.
A little teaser here. So, I mean, I don't know how long you've been watching the show for, but if you've been watching it for, you know, a couple of years, you may have talked or heard us talk about me getting absolutely decimated by the real estate market in 2008, 2009. And so when I went to meet TK today, we were in the area and I was driving by the houses and I put out a tweet or a post on X and I said, here's the deal that destroyed my life, right? And the house is such a beautiful house and I love the house so much. Well, maybe there's the TK twist there. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. Listen, it was a springboard for certain things and it was an absolute knife through the heart from a different perspective, right? And so anyways, I posted it and it went pretty crazy on Twitter or X, whatever the fuck it is. And basically, you know, everybody's saying like extrapolate on the story. And since I kind of intimated to it on the show, like everybody's been asking to go deeper into the destruction of Daryl, right?
So, and I am going to pry, peel.
You are going to pry, peel,
and pick
dig.
At
maybe
dig
pick
and dig at this story. I want to know it all.
Excavate, TK. You're going to excavate my soul.
I got
soul.
Some dynamite, and I am going to blast that rock
That's right.
out of the ground and figure out what really makes Daryl Frankfort who he is.
Well, we'll
hear
that story.
We'll get to that later.
But right now, TK, like, what is going on?
Let me do a little market stat update.
Yeah,
so
what's
like,
happening
you know, the end
right
of
there?
April came out. We're all like, yo, man, what's going on with prices? And prices are showing like moderate gains. And you know, it's kind of like, hey, you know, prices are not doing so bad. But I'm looking like every time I look at a property that sells and I compare it to a year ago, it's less than it was a year ago. Like there are no gains that I'm seeing. So, you know, there's a lot of reasons that, you know, these type of things happen. You know, with more expensive properties are being sold. You know, the volume of properties is down a lot, like sales are down 5%. So certain things can even out, you know, through averages. So I wouldn't really look at those numbers and be like, wow, this is great. You know, like average prices are doing just fine. No, they're not. They're on the way down and we're watching less and less buyers buy. The sales are coming down, but it's the active listings.
Hold on a second. Yeah. So average prices are coming down, even though the numbers show
average
that they're
prices
not.
Show that they're going up. Yeah. Slightly like they're holding steady, basically 1%
so
up
now,
here. Like, you know,
so now we're deciding that we're not going to listen to the average price, right? Now we're saying, forget the average
I'm not saying now. I'm saying when I compare a price that was a year ago with today's prices, I'm seeing that they were selling for more a year ago, almost like 100% of the time.
Yeah.
So all the houses that I look at, I'm just like, well, they got X. I'm like, well, why can't we get that now? Or they got Y. And I'm like, well, we're getting X, which is lower. So I'm like, this is definitely a downward trending market. It's just disguising itself.
And
you also
got to
remember, Treb is working
units.
For the realtors. Treb has never put out documentation that says you can read their reports from the early 90s when we all know what was going on during the early 90s.
That's right.
And every single time they put out a report, it was like, This was in the newspapers. They were just like, oh, the market has finally reached a bottom. And now buyers are returning to the market to buy with decreased in active listings. We will soon see price growth by the end of this year. Like, yeah. No, it went down that year, the next year, the year after. And yeah. It was just Treb.
Before that, they saw the stats and they were like, we can't show anybody this.
Those guys are
gonna edit this.
Prince paupers of pumpers. Now, here's my next
marketing geniuses.
I love you, Treb. Now, the next part is active listings. Daryl, 12,000 some odd listings to over 18,000 listings. Over 18,000. We're back up to some of the high points of last year. And that's, in my opinion, only going to be going up over the next few months.
Condos.
I tried to book a photographer. Nope. Monday, I had a photographer booked for a new listing that was going up on Wednesday. So I signed the listing on the weekend. I tell the seller, I'll have a photographer there on Tuesday. So Monday morning, I call the photographer. Booked. Call my backup photographer. Booked. Call my backup to my backup. Booked. Found some guy on like Facebook. I got him. Well, one guy was charging me triple. And I was like,
triple.
I literally was like, Jesus Christ. I said, that's triple. He never responded.
Bro, my son has a great camera.
I found some other guy. So then he was like, okay, I'll be there. But my backup, the third backup, he messaged me and says, I can do 6 o'clock tomorrow. So I ended up getting the guy on Tuesday that I was comfortable with, that I was happy with. But that's what I had to do. Why?
Why?
Tell me why.
So many listings. It's insane.
So many listings are coming up that the photographers are busy and that they don't even have time for me.
Yeah, that's a leading indicator.
That's
of
a leading indicator,
right?
Of leading indicators, right? There.
What about the stagers? Not too much money. Stagers are dying.
So we talked about this stagers today, right? We talked about this today because somebody was talking about staging and whatever it is.
Am I right?
Back when you could sell a house in a week, yeah. You don't mind forking out $5,000 and then $2,500 every month afterwards for staging. Yeah. But now that house is going on the market for 3-4 months and then the seller tells you they want more money than it's worth and they want to take it off. How many people you think are offering that? Free staging now.
No, they're getting that VR or the rendering
virtual
stages. Yeah, it's like, this is what it could look like.
They're taking
like
the furniture from their living room at home. They're like, honey, listen, we don't even sit on that couch. I don't even know why we bought that couch, all right? But Betty needs to sell her home, and we're going to put this couch in her living room until it gets sold, all right? I swear to God that that's what people do. All right, so anyways, but overall stats for April showed weakening markets.
Everything?
Weakening market and...
I thought that townhouses and detached homes were still doing okay.
They're still doing okay, but the fact that you've got an increase in listings in those segments as well, too, what precedes prices. Yeah.
Why? I thought I saw stats that were staggering at the amount of condos and then detached, and towns were like, there was like no towns and single detached.
They're still on the rise, number of active listings.
On the rise.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. That's not good.
I just sold one in the beaches this week, this week, and there was like no listings when we were listing. And then all of a sudden now, once we had our offer come in and it's sold conditional for 2 or 3 days, all of a sudden it was like, boom, new listing after new listing after new listing. The house that I listed this week, that I was talking about the photographer, same thing. Nothing was available in the area, and now there's more competition.
Are we getting showings?
We're getting showings, yeah.
Calls? Are we getting offers? Are we holding back offers? What's the strategy these days?
Holding back offers, yeah.
Holding back offers. Yeah. So, I mean, when I drive around now and I go through the streets, mm-hmm. not that I get out much, but when I do, I'm seeing open house signs all over the place on the weekends. I was driving mm-hmm. along Finch or Steeles.
You're going to see more open houses this summer.
Holy shit. There was a million signs on the corner.
What are you doing for me? Why aren't I getting any showings? How come you're not doing an open house? My neighbors are doing an open house this weekend. How come you're not? What are you doing for me? What am I paying for? Mm-hmm. Isn't this your couch from your living room? I saw it when I was at your house the other day. Why is it in my living room?
No, but
why
seriously.
Did you just pay for staging? I'm dead serious. These are conversations that happen.
What the hell's going on?
I'm dead serious.
So okay, but hold on a sec. So
tell Bailey to only do commercial real estate.
That's what I'm trying. She likes it though, so it's going well. She's only
got
seven
awesome.
Sites.
She's really good.
She's really
Bailey's
good.
Very on the board. She's on point.
Yeah. Well, it's been a pleasure working with you versus all these other fucking yahoos
but
that we've been working
with
super,
lately. She's super organized. Yeah.
Very organized, very polite. Yeah. She knows her shit. She's going to be a superstar.
She's going to be a superstar.
She's going to make more money 100%. Than me this year. What else is going on, TK? So here, hold on a sec. Rent. So I went out last night with some big wigs and I was hobnobbing around, and somebody said to me, you know, I have a condo closing soon, and I bought it years ago, and not nervous. Like the price now is still well above what he paid for it, and he got like a special discount for knowing the right people. And so he's more than capable of closing on it on every level. But he's like, I don't want to rent it to anybody. The tenants are horrible right now, right? The tenants are horrible. He's like, if you get stuck, right? And we've talked about this. You get stuck with the wrong bloody tenant, right? And you don't know, like the fraud out there, like for the background checks and all that kind of stuff. Like if you don't do your due diligence properly and you get fooled by, it's not hard to like a few $100 and you're fooling anybody, right? So anyways, I thought it was interesting because
if you're an experienced landlord, I don't think that should be the problem.
No, if you're an experienced landlord that does it every day, but this is the problem in the goddamn market from day one, is that it's a bunch of inexperienced yahoos. Yeah, but listen, this guy that I'm talking about, forget about experience. The guy builds apartment buildings, for God's sakes. This one is like, you know, not in a deal. It's in his own name. He bought it for his kid for like, you know, when the guy's able to move out in 10, 12 years. But he's like, I don't know if I want to rent it to somebody until my kid moves into it now, right? Because, again, you get caught with the wrong guy. It could be a year of hell. Nobody
so
wants
there are,
to deal with
there
this
are
shit.
Lots of, you know,
there's a ton
even,
coming
even
up.
Rachel said about some of the hearings and stuff like that. So I'm hearing pretty consistently across the board now that it's less than 6 months for here.
Less than 6 months. But there's a million condos that are having to close in the coming months.
That is a whole
next
story.
Year. Yeah. And like, so what I'm hearing, rents are coming down now, or at least in our comment section. I feel like the data doesn't say that rents are coming down, but maybe I'm out to lunch on rents.
No, the rental data is really like,
everybody I talk
outdated.
To is like rental totally data is into always rents now. Rental. Everybody wants to build a rental. Everywhere I go, everybody's talking rental.
$4 a square foot.
$4.
$4
everyone
a square foot.
Where is it? Etobicoke. $4. Where is
that's
it?
That's $4,000 for a 1,000 square foot apartment.
Yeah, but who the fuck's making 1,000 square foot apartments except for me, TK? No, but seriously. Other than me, no
who's
one's
paying
making
$4,000
apartments.
For a 1,000 grand apartment? Not many people. There's only certain locations
on the area,
that people want to pay $4,000.
Only certain locations,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Exactly. That's why we go to those
locations.
So this
$4 thing to me is, you know, you better be in a good location.
You better be in a good location. Well, but TK, why does everybody need $4, for God's sakes? Why does everybody, whether you're in North York, East York, Leaside, Toronto, Etobicoke, Oakville, doesn't matter. $4 is the number, bro. $4.
How
is
the rent the same
the
everywhere? You know, but it makes sense. But it's kind of like cap rates. So people always use the same cap rates when
you've been in two of the meetings, right? You were in two of the meetings that said $4 a foot, right? I'm talking to people, even though I don't get out, I talk to people on the phone and on Zoom every day. They're all using $4 because I'm out there trying to figure out how to like look at rental. I mean, I'm being condo from day one, and now the obvious switch for everybody is purpose built rental, CMHC financing, put in a little geothermal, and off you go, off to the races now. But it's only off to the races because everybody's using $4 a foot. So if rents start coming down, right, and everybody's switched to purpose built rental and everybody's using four bucks a foot, and all of a sudden it becomes $3 a foot.
I don't care. So, in order for us to solve any type of issue, in order for us to build enough purpose built rentals, in order for us to build a bunch of housing, in order for us to, you know, solve the debt crisis and all that kind of stuff, a bunch of people need to lose money. No matter what it is we need a bunch of people to all jump into something.
Can
to
it
do
be
it all
the realtors?
Really fast.
Can it be all the realtors?
The realtors aren't losing money because they don't put in any of their own money in anyways. They're not
the
losing
realtors
anything.
And the car salesmen need to take the hit for us
but it's like you got to get it's the only way things get done because
if people are stupid, they all want the developers to die.
Profits, it means that we don't have enough.
They don't want the developers to profit. They all think we're evil and out to get them and all trying to fuck them, right?
But you know right now,
who's going to build this shit?
A lot of developers need to get killed.
Some developers need to get killed.
They need to get killed.
Yeah, and they will get killed, and they've been getting killed. And even when times are good, some developers need to get killed and get killed. Funny enough, those guys
some
are
of the,
really
some of the
fucking
deals,
bad.
Some of the deals that you have very vocally made sure everybody understood that those were bad deals from day one are all now, you know, coming to the light, you know?
There are a few that I was watching, and there are a few
where you were like, this deal doesn't make any sense, and nothing ever got built, and that land is changing hands.
Yeah, and it's if it hasn't yet, it's about to.
It's about to. Yeah.
And it's so weird because it doesn't feel like I keep saying it doesn't feel like things are slow. I'm busier than friggin' ever.
I know.
Okay.
Me too.
And then you get this new jobs report that shows 90,000 new jobs. Yeah. And surprisingly, and I don't know if this is accurate, but apparently like most of them are high paying private sector jobs. And now this just feels weird to me that that was inserted into there when last jobs report, it was like, there's
public
a billion new public sector jobs, right? Yeah. And like no private sector jobs. So this stands out to me as a little bit odd. But then again, I'm announcing that I'm hiring a person right now. So,
and we've been waiting for a 6% job market. Because again, when you start, unemployment rate is so freaking low. You just get a bunch of lazy people who are just like, oh, you know, unless I can have the office with the good view, or, you know, unless I can get that type of package for me to be able to go and see my grandmother in Indiana. It's like, listen, man, you're lucky to have a job. You know, just be happy that you have a job. Why can't
you're
you
lucky
just take the job?
Yeah.
And so at 6% unemployment rate, we start to get a little bit more pressure. There seems to be, because there was a time where you just, every store had a sign hiring.
Where are we
hiring
at right now? Where are we at?
We're at 6.1%, which is a lot healthier because, like, I just got shawarma tonight. And the girls who own the shawarma place, they worked their tails off. And they had such a hard time finding somebody. And now I went there again today. And the same girl who was there like 3 months ago, which means they've been able to keep her, is still working. Why? Because that girl needs a job.
I was at Tim Hortons today, you know? And they fucking screwed the pooch on everything, and they were walking around like, we don't fucking need this shit.
That's because the 15 to 24 year olds have started to work again now, so it's like 40,000 more 15 to 24 years. Why? Because they want to make some money.
Yeah, it's part-time.
Like, I can't even go out for lunch
no benefits
with my friends. It's $20 just to be able to eat a sandwich somewhere.
Yeah, you gotta work 3 hours to go for an ice cream.
Listen, I'm observant. And I'm at Tim Hortons. I'm seeing younger people. I'm seeing people, they look like they're 12 years old working behind the counter.
Yeah.
Right? I'm seeing the immigrants who are working, the girl at the shawarma stores from India. I'm seeing all the immigrants. I'm just like, the immigrants who
are
like,
who's going to make it. That's who's going to make it. My uncle, who I never talk about, but this guy's one of the biggest real estate guys in this whole bloody country, okay? Mm-hmm. This guy had to start working. He's an immigrant from Hungary. He came here. His father died, and somebody had to like make money for the family. This guy started working in like grade one.
Yeah.
Right? And he's, I mean, at
so
least financially, he's all the better off. But when you're forced, you know, or you want to, or you have that desire to work at that kind of a young age, like you learn some lessons and you take some bumps and bruises when it doesn't really hurt you. And next thing you know, overnight success when you're 30 something, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, it takes.
That's all you got to do, guys. Listen, if you're listening to the show right now and you're struggling, I mean, you should have started in grade one.
Yeah, what
and
the
that,
fuck are you,
you know,
waiting
you're
for?
You're behind on the times and that you need to really step
you don't
up.
You have to, but those that do end up.
There's
like,
certain
look,
guys who have work ethic.
Warren Buffett
was
selling Coca-Colas at six, you know.
Frank Leo's Frank Leo's got work ethic like that's why he is where he is.
My
work just
ethic
goes,
sucks, TK, but
he
I
just
work
goes
a lot
from morning till night doing all the things he needs to do, and that's why he was able to get to where he is, and he still is today. It's just like, I was at the office today at an appointment, and you know, everyone else is leaving, they're all checking out and all that kind of stuff, and as I'm leaving, like basically one of the last guys to leave, his car is still there. Like,
oh,
he's
yeah,
just Friday,
that's like, that was my uncle. my uncle was like, he was like, what the fuck? He's here already. Yeah. Right. And then it was like at the end of the day, he would wait. Right. Yeah. And so I started like wanting to move up in that company. And so I would go there earlier. Right.
Yeah.
And he would be there earlier than me. And I was like, what the fuck? How does he know when I'm going to be here? He's always here before me. I'm going to go earlier.
Before Daryl gets
right?
there.
And he's like, yeah. he's there already. And I'm like, yeah. same thing at night. And I'm like, I don't even have anything to do. I'm just going to wait here and see if he leaves after me. And it's like, yeah. eventually I got to go. Like, and he'd probably be like, sorry, I got to cancel because I got to be the last one here, you know?
Can't leave yet.
I can't be at dinner. Daryl's like fucking with me over here.
I'm coming home. Yeah.
No, but these are the guys. It's like Kobe Bryant, first guy there, last guy gone. Like, these are the guys, right?
If you wonder, like, if you're like, hey, why is that person so successful? How do I be like them? Success leaves clues.
It does.
Why are we the best podcast? Even though we're on a list of podcasts where we're like number six or something like that. I don't really
number
know.
One, number one.
List.
Yeah. If you look below the video, we're number one. It says it right down below, TK.
Yeah. It's on our video saying we're number one. So
we're number one.
It's because we do it every week.
Number one.
Even today, it's like, you know, it's Friday night.
And it's fucking good, TK.
We have so many
good show, bro.
Yeah. We got so many important things to do. We got so many invitations to go cool places. But, you know, Daryl and I are saying, no, we got to do our show.
We got to do this. Yeah.
Yeah. We got to make sure it's out.
The public. The hell are we talking about right now? Where are we going?
I don't know,
with this?
But to see the TD fraud there with the $650 million of money laundering,
the guy in London or something like that?
TD's been funneling all the Chinese drug cartel fentanyl money.
Obviously. Yeah.
Right?
Somebody has to do it.
First, it started with the FinTrack fines, but now it's like,
really?
Yeah, now it's like $2 billion of fines. Because it's the U.S. The U.S. is involved. The U.S. is like, what are you guys doing? So this is, you know what? This has been something that we always talked about. Like, we always talked about in 2008 and 9. We'd say, well, our banking system is just so much better than
the strongest.
I can't
believe we're solid.
That in the States, they do the things they do. I can't believe the ninja loans, no income, no jobs, no assets. Oh, my gosh.
That's how we made it out of the Great Recession. We're solid.
But we literally have just been taking illegal drug money. That's and any other illegal type of
country's
money laundering.
Country's got to do what a country's got to do. You want to launder your cash? Canada's your
place. We've been
place,
talking
right?
about it for so long. Like, half of the luxury units that are out there are bought and sold by, like, numbered companies, shell corporations, weird, shady transactions. Sometimes they get bought and then
I buy
sold
stuff
for less.
In numbered companies, and I'm not, like,
I'm not saying,
part of
I'm
the
not
cartel.
Listen, I'm not saying all numbered companies are that way, but these
not
big,
all
huge,
numbered companies are
big,
evil.
Huge luxury purchases. A lot of them, you know,
really?
They can get. Yeah.
Is this, you know, there's this house on my street that, like, it's got a Porsche Cayenne in the driveway, but it's parked diagonally all the time in the exact same way. It never moves. And I feel like it was like, let's just put a Porsche there. And then they won't think that the place is empty because it's a Porsche in the driveway. Right. If it was a rundown, broken down Toyota, like up on blocks, then for sure it's some Asian money that came in illegally, 100%. But you throw a Porsche in the driveway, TK.
European.
Somebody must be here.
Someone must be here. They wouldn't just leave their Porsche out there like that.
No, right?
But I should start advertising. We should start advertising listings for people to launder money. I mean, that would be, you know, it's a good market.
It's a good market.
$650 million. Like, I mean, TD's doing pretty good there, you know?
I'll do it. We'll take a point.
So we have FinTrack. I'll tell you what FinTrack is, right? Proceeds of Crime, Money Laundering, and Terrorist Financing Act. So we meet the client and we're like, hey, let me check your ID. All right, Daryl Frank.
You don't need to see my
address.
ID.
Where do you work? Okay. You know, what's your job? Like, you know, your job position, driver's license number, expiry, birth date, all that kind of stuff. And then before, all we had to say was like, does this person seem like suspicious? Like, you know, what kind of transaction is this? Have you worked with them in the past? Right. That kind of stuff. Now we have to check all these boxes and stuff that, you know, are more related to their actual behaviors and all that kind of stuff too.
Are they politically,
they all make sense. They all make sense. They're all like, yeah. Like, okay. If I answered a certain amount of no's and I had a total amount of points that equaled a suspicious number, that should be reported. But, like, there's been zero.
Have you ever been convicted of muling
or
drugs
money laundering
over the border?
Right? Ever been caught by FinTrack with the real estate agents forms? I don't know about other forms, but there's We're not making a dent in money laundering. I can promise you that.
No, it's the only people buying shit now, right? Who just don't even care. They just got to get that money.
Yeah, and realtors cannot be like responsible to prevent money laundering.
So anyways,
Sorry, I digress.
Well, it's okay. But like what I was saying before is it's weird because you have money laundering going on like crazy. You have still some people, I mean, the numbers show average price going up. So that just means that there's more expensive stuff being purchased, right?
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, you have like insolvencies going up like crazy in Q1 by 87%. You're saying unemployment is at 6.1%. Meanwhile, we added a bunch of jobs. So I don't know how that fucking works. Unemployment went up, but employment went up at the same time. It's the numbers generally make sense when you dissect them, I find.
You're adding people to the economy.
And then you're adding a billion people. Right?
Actually, you got people who didn't count as employed. I said 15 to 24 year olds are now 40,000 of them entered the workforce. So you had people who didn't count towards the unemployment rate before.
If you go to school now, it counts as being employed, TK. If you're in school speaking of school and students now, apparently, did you hear this? So immigration, everybody was saying, oh my God, nobody's coming from India anymore. None of the students are coming. Student immigration is down and it's going to crush the market. So apparently the Canadian government put like a cap on the amount of students that could come in, and all of a sudden applications went bananas again, like record-breaking pace again, TK.
I didn't hear that.
You heard that? Did you hear that?
I didn't hear that. No, I didn't hear that. I didn't hear that applications went crazy again.
It surged. It's another surge. There's surges going on in lots of places. So meanwhile, they're tightening the money supply. I don't understand what's going on. Ron Butler's on last week, betting everybody $10,000 that rates are going to cut. Jobs are up. They're not cutting. They're not cutting anytime soon. Nobody agreed with Ron on that. Everybody was saying that they think he's kind of crazy. And I mean, anybody that talks with such confidence,
how come no one took the bet?
Because nobody's dumb enough to be so confident, because nobody knows what the hell's going to happen right now. Like you go out there and say 100%, this is what's going to happen and bet, like, great. Okay. So what does that mean? You're willing to lose 10 grand. It doesn't mean you're fucking right. It just means you're crazy enough to make that bet and lose 10 grand. Maybe. It just means 10 grand doesn't really mean anything to him, right?
Mm.
I think. But everybody else is like, you know what? I have an opinion, but like, I'll bet you $200. What? Like, because I don't really care if I'm right.
Yeah. And it's like, so.
Is this shit?
I get why he's making the bet. And I'm sure there's a lot of validity to the information that he has. But right now, the Bank of Canada is basically saying, hey, we're getting close. We're getting close,
we're close to
lowering rates.
He might be right. I'm not saying he's not right.
We want to lower rates. And so, that's a great bet. I think that's a great bet to make, is that they will do at least one. But they're also saying very clearly
this week,
we aren't even going back to the rates that we saw before the pandemic. And we're definitely not going anywhere close to during the pandemic.
It doesn't matter if gas prices goes fucking bananas and houses go bananas.
And that's something, too, they're going to watch, because the U.S. economy is heating up. Right. Yeah. The U.S. economy is outperforming Canada's.
It's heating up, baby.
Right. They're not going to be lowering interest rates anytime soon. I think that we've been talking a lot about the U.S. dollar. Everyone's going, oh, my God, the U.S. dollar. If we lower the rates, then the value of the Canadian dollar is going to go down. And yeah, it might. But like, that's going to lead to a lot of exports. You know, people are going to be buying our stuff, which if our economy is not doing pretty good, then that might be a good thing.
Well, it'll be good if you don't want to leave.
Border and say, I'm going to get a 10% discount because I'm going to buy it from Canada instead of wherever else.
I know. But when you go to Curacao, it costs $8 billion.
But they don't care about the wealthy. Look at the luxury tax. I went and looked at some cars just as a general interest. And I looked at the prices of the higher expensive cars that I can't afford. And the luxury tax on those things is insane.
I wouldn't know, TK. I'm not shopping for cars like you are, TK.
I'm not shopping for these cars, but I'm looking at like the most expensive cars at the dealership just to say, hey, how much does that car cost? And I'm like, where do these numbers come from? Like, this is insanity that someone would pay that much money for a car. Is there a 2018 used version with only like 60,000 kilometers on it?
And you can't lease a decent new car now. Like, blue? If you want a decent maybe a little above decent, like an above average lease. It is fucking expensive now. It's crazy. It's even Darryl? The yes, TK.
Sorry to interrupt.
That's okay. I wasn't really saying anything anyway.
Okay, Darryl.
Is it time?
Yes.
It's time.
I want to know
when,
when was your first
the disaster
build? Yeah, like what was the first new home that you built?
That I built on my own or that I actually built? Because like if you go way back, I built subdivisions.
When you went on your own, you were a contractor. What kind of jobs were you doing?
No, when I went on my own, I bought a property at Leslie and Lawrence.
But what
I just
about
bought
before
a
that?
Lot.
You were just like, I'm going to start building before you did any of your contracting work?
No, I worked in the lumber yard for
in
my
the
family.
Your first job after the lumber yard was to buy a property and build a house.
No, I went over to the furniture business for a few years.
Okay,
and
after
then
the furniture business.
When I turned 30, I think I went a little loco and I didn't want to be in the furniture business anymore. And I just quit my job and I bought a lot at Leslie and Lawrence. Like I had no idea what I was doing.
No idea.
In a bidding war.
But you sold lumber before.
I sold lumber. No, I framed, like I headed up like 70 framing crews, 30 trim carpentry crews. I coordinated like 5,000 sets of trusses at a time. Like I knew bits and pieces of building a house, right? We did a decent amount of construction for the builders. It was a very different market.
You had the confidence.
I kept walking, watching guys. Every big builder in the city would come in to buy lumber and negotiate and shoot the shit with my uncle. And I would just watch these guys come in and they were just normal dudes, right? Maybe they, you know, had some family money or they were part of an old development company that somebody's grandfather might have started. But regardless of who they were, I mean, they may have thought that they were better than some people, but all of them were just normal guys who like knew something or had giant fucking balls and just had confidence, like just brimming from everywhere. And so I would just constantly think to myself as they would walk by my desk, go, if that guy can do it, for sure I can do this. Like there's no doubt. And then I got sidetracked. I ended up in the furniture business for a few years and that was fun. And I learned a bunch of stuff, but something in me wanted to be a builder, wanted to be a developer, like wanted to be in this industry. Mm-hmm. And so I don't even know what happened. I was like at the airport. I just turned 30. We were flying to San Francisco to go see Donald Trump and Robert Kiyosaki and what's his name? Tony Robbins. Like it was a crazy thing. My wife bought me these tickets. And so in the airport, I saw this book that said how to quit your day job. And it just called to me and I read it on the plane and I was like, I can do this. I'm going to do this. When I get back, I'm quitting my job. I'm buying a property and I can do this. And so I did it. I bought this property. I got in a bidding war. I paid $651 for this property at Leslie and Lawrence. It's on a street called Kirkdale, 16 Kirkdale. And like you come out the front door and you see the big Toronto water tower. It was like not the best lot in the whole world, but it was the smallest, cheapest lot in a great area. And I was like, I'm going to build the shit out of this thing. And so I put in my offer and it was like a firm offer. Right, bidding war, crazy.
Who's your agent?
A guy named Richard Funt. And if Richard, by some fluke, sees this show,
call in, Richard.
Fuck you, Funt, you piece of shit. Fuck yourself. An asshole. Anyways, Richard Funt, go fuck yourself. Thank you. I needed to do that. That's great. Anyways, so where was I? So Richard Funt, I went away to San Francisco. I left him with a blank check to buy me that property. Get me that property, Richard. I want that property. So I get a call.
What could go wrong?
Right? What could go wrong? Yeah, you got the property. 651. Way to go. That's
I know you said your max was 450, but you know what? I think it's really worth it.
I think asking was like 599. Like it wasn't as crazy as these bidding wars recently. Like this
still,
is 2006, right? 2006. 52,000 over asking, whatever. Firm offer, boom, Darryl gets it. Uh-oh, now what? I don't really know what to do next, right? It's like, I guess I'm going to need a bunch of money. I'm going to need a mortgage, TK. Oh, no.
I never
just
even thought
quit my
that.
Job, right?
Yeah, so
I got to find a mortgage, and I'm meeting everybody, and they're all like, where's your pay stub? I go, I have pay stubs from a month ago, but I don't have anything recently. Well, that's not going to work, right? Mm-hmm. You're basically broke if you don't have income when it comes to the banks, right? Mm. The major banks.
Useless, yeah.
Absolutely useless. So I meet, and I mean, I don't want this to come across wrong, but I meet an Indian woman in Brampton for some reason. Anyway, so I get the mortgage, okay? And then it's like, now what? Now I got to build this thing. I have no idea.
What about the money to build it?
You know how I'm learning how to build a house?
What do you mean you just have to build it? Where's the money to build it, Daryl?
That's what I'm saying. It's like, where's the fucking money? How am I going to do this now?
To build the house?
So I don't even know.
And what does it cost to build a house in 2008?
I feel like I want to say 250 square foot back then. Maybe it was even 200 or 180. Like, it was crazy. Let's this is 200. A 3,500 square foot,
700
beautiful house. Check
where
it
do you
out
get 700,000 from?
Check it out on Google Maps.
It's still standing, guys. Daryl
16
knows
Kirkdale Crescent is a beautiful house. Looks still drove by it today. Looks beautiful, and I did fairly well on that thing. It was a beautiful build, that first one. It was a lovely day. But I had
where
to
did
learn
$700,000 come from, Daryl?
That's the thing. Right? Yeah. Is where did it come from?
Where so did I'm it come going, from? You're beating around the bush.
I'm putting a suit on and I got my briefcase and I'm going to everybody like looking for money. And they're like, nah, I don't think so. Sorry. No, thank you. Maybe go talk to this guy. And somehow I end up at these two old Jewish guys at like Bathurst and Lawrence above one of these old like retail plazas, and I walk in there in my suit and I'm like all confident, ready to go. And I walk in, they start laughing at me, TK. And I'm like, are they laughing at me? Like, that's fucking rude, man. What's going on? Like, I look good. I'm bringing them a deal of the century, right?
Yeah.
And they just keep fucking laughing. And they're like, you're not a builder. I go, what? They're like, builders don't wear suits. Where's your boots, boy? I'm not lending you any money. You're wearing a suit. You're not a real builder. Get out of here.
Smart,
I was like,
those guys. Oh, wisdom.
What the fuck just happened there?
They check their fingernails. You know what I mean?
These guys taught me a valuable, valuable lesson, but it didn't help. I couldn't find any money anywhere. So
didn't help. So now with construction boots on.
Where am I? I'm at like a bar mitzvah or maybe some kind of Jewish party where like my whole family's there and all the people I've known my whole life are there. And this guy who was my mentor kind of puts his arm around me. He goes, actually, I don't think at this point he was my mentor. Just this guy I've known like my whole life. Okay. He's been in the business forever. He's a big developer, big lumber guy. Like, he's just been around forever. And he puts his arm around me. He goes, oh, I hear you're a big builder now. I said, yeah, but like, I'm going to lose the property because I can't find financing to build the house. He goes,
but you already secured the financing to close.
To close. Yeah.
Yeah.
But not to build. So like, great. Okay. Now what? Right.
Well, if you hung on to that house and it was just the way it was right now, you would have made a fortune.
Did nothing. Yeah, well, we'll get to that because that is definitely a part of the story for sure. But not on this one, because this first one was a resounding success.
I just want to know the 700K, where'd it come from?
So the guy puts his arm around me at the party. He says, oh, I hear you're a big shot builder now. And I said, I'm going to fucking explode because I can't get the financing. He goes, I know a guy. I'm going to introduce you. He's going to take care of you. Right. Okay. So I go and I meet this guy, and this is another like titan in the industry, owns concrete forming businesses and owns construction companies and built meat and food empires. Like, this guy's major. And he's like, yeah, this is the deal. We'll give you the money. And this is the rate. And you're not going to pay us until the end when you close, when you sell the deal. We'll keep the interest until the end and we'll pay all the trades for you along the way. Just submit the invoices and we'll pay them directly. And I was like, what the
this
fuck
is, a miracle.
Is going on right now? Yeah. Is this for real? And like, the rate was pretty high, but it was like, it's that or nothing basically. Right.
Yeah.
So he goes, just go and make a budget and like, give us the construction plan. And like, off we go. Here we go. Mm-hmm. And so I go out, I drive home and I break down and I'm like, I don't know how to make a budget. I don't know how to make a construction plan. What the fuck? I don't even know how to build a house. Yeah. So I lived in like a new subdivision at the time, and Aspen Ridge was building houses behind me. So I was just watching out my window like every day, watching how are they doing this? What's next? What's going on? How long did this take? And I'm writing it down and I'm watching, you know, a few of the houses.
There's no YouTube.
Right.
At that point,
there's no YouTube back to figure out. There's like no way to figure anything out. There's no books on this stuff. Right.
There was a book, but you didn't read
it. Maybe
there
was a book, but I don't know how to read. I haven't read in a long time. And that's not my style. Right?
No
and
way.
Plus, there's like a live action movie right in front of me, like a documentary, infomercial. Anyway, so I'm seeing it happen from some of the best in the industry, right? And plus, I'm doing it regularly during the day, but we didn't do foundations. We didn't do excavations. Anyways, so one day, I haven't figured out the budget. I have no clue what I'm doing. I don't know to go out and get quotes from all these people. I don't even know what is part of building what and what trades are necessary. I go into the guy's place and I cry in front of this man in his office. I break down crying. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to make a budget. I just want to build this house. I don't know what I'm doing. And he goes, Okay, relax. I'm going to teach you how to make a budget. We're going to give you the money for this thing. I like you. We're going to take care of you. And boom, somehow I got financing. And TK, I did the best job ever on this house. I was there all day, all night. No one was there before me. No one was there after me. I was the site foreman. I was cleaning up. Me and my brother laid the weeping tile in that goddamn
pizza
house.
Pizza and donuts.
I was just sitting there with a laptop all the time, okay? And I built the shit out of that house. And it was amazing. It was amazing, okay? And it sold quick, and the market was good, and boom, made some money. It was time for another one, right? And so around the corner, there's a house for sale. And
did you call Fund?
Because I still liked Funt at this point. Because Funt comes in the house one day and I'm in the basement.
Did he sell it for you afterwards?
Like, we got it on fire! We got it on fire! And I'm like, great. And I think we were asking like $1,750. And I'm like, how much is the offer? He goes, $1,625. It's so great! It's so great! And I'm like, what? He goes, yeah, it's so great. You're going to make all kinds of money. You can move on to the next one. And away we go. Boy, this is the best thing ever. You got to take the first offer because you don't know if you're ever going to get another one as good as the first offer. And I was like, what? I got to take the first offer? I don't know if I'm getting... And I was like, okay, fine. Like, let's take it.
Yeah.
Like, I did good, right? I was I was happy with it, but I...
Hold on. 700 plus 650 like, is 1,350.
Where did the 750 come from? Oh, you didn't.
700.
Yeah, 1,350
plus
a bunch of interest or whatever, right?
So 1,350.
Yeah, plus so I made a couple $100,000, 150, commissions. 180. Ended up making like $150,000, which I mean, for me back then, don't forget it's 2006. I mean, my job, I was making maybe, I don't know, $80,000 or something like that. I left, I was making $100,000. So I made more money than I ever made in my life. But the problem was with that is that I spent the whole year and a half going into my line of credit, all my credit cards, and basically I ended up back at zero after that, right?
Yeah.
Which was fine because the learning
your
experience
whole day there
was wonderful.
Cleaning and yeah.
I mean, if I didn't listen to that motherfucker Funt, right? And I would have waited for a better offer, maybe signed back
maybe
or something.
Maybe he was right.
Maybe he was right. Well, we'll get to another thing in the... Yeah, he double-ended it, actually. Now that I think about it, he definitely double-ended it. You had a fucking cocksucker, right? Can I say that on here? That's pushing
what
it.
What a go, Funt. He screwed
bastard.
You.
This guy, his license plate, you want? I'm surprised you haven't heard of this guy. His license plate says, Funt me. Funt me. Anyways,
he was a
showman, man. He was good. He was like a talker. He was smooth. And the guy I met him through, I mean, that should have been the indicator. But anyways, so yes, I have some money again, or I'm back to zero. I have resources enough to buy another one, TK.
Mm.
And so this house comes on the market and Funt calls me up. He goes, we got the next
another
one. This one's beautiful. It's
so it's only $100,000 more for the last one. You know, than the last one.
It was probably only $100,000 more for the lot than the last one. I think I paid $750 for this one, actually.
Yeah,
that sounds about right. $750. We can check it online, or you guys can check it. It's 77 Grange Mill Crescent, right around the corner. Big, nice, beautiful
lot.
No
water tower in front.
No water tower in front. Beautiful property.
Bigger lot.
Bigger lot, deeper, wider, beautiful. Mm-hmm. And so about a week or two later, after I buy that one, I'm away on vacation. We had a place in Tremblant back then. So I'm out in Tremblant and I get a call. You're not going to believe it. There's another house on Grangemill for sale. I think you should go for it, buddy. And I was like, this is a great idea, Richard. I think I should go for it too.
Oh, fun.
How much is this?
Oh, fun.
He's like, yeah, it's this, and I think you should do it, and you get economies of scale and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, the last one was pretty easy. I mean, why not? I'll just sit in front of two on the same street. What could go wrong here, right?
What could go wrong?
What could go wrong? So I'm in Tremblant, and I call my dad. I go, Dad, I'm going to send somebody to your house. I need you to give me a check for 50 grand because I'm away. When I come back, I'll pay you back. Fund goes to my dad for sure. 10 seconds later, he's picking up a check, gives the deposit for this
house.
He's
outside your dad's place, just waiting.
Waiting. Like he's
like,
knew,
oh,
right?
I'm outside. Yeah, I'm outside. Yeah,
I
get the paperwork ready to go.
I've been waiting.
I've already submitted the offer.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I signed it for you too. Don't worry about it. Anyway, yeah. So borrow the money from my dad, put an offer on the second property now. Sight unseen, okay? I didn't look at this thing. I get back and I'm like, the grade in the back is, I probably should have looked at this because this is awfully, you know, this is troublesome.
You didn't see it.
The grade was like 30 feet higher, 20 feet higher than like the grade at one point at the very back of the property to like the back of the house. So it was like this giant hill. Oh. Anyways, it's a line item on the landscaping budget at the end of the day. So anyways, here I am. Somehow managed with the same guys, little bit of money. I borrowed money from my father, borrowed money from my mother-in-law. I had like barely any of my, I didn't have any money. I had like, maybe I put in some credit, but I borrowed from everybody to put these two together because after the first
proof
one,
of concept. Yeah.
But everybody wants to be a partner now, right? Everybody's like, holy shit, this guy knows what he's doing. And I'm like, yes, he does. Yes, he does. Give me your money. Let's go.
I got a plan. Right. I read it in a book.
But listen, TK. I was really good at this stuff, but I didn't know again what I was doing. And so this time it was like the neighbors complain about my plan and they don't accept my plan. And now all of a sudden, one of the houses is like 4 months behind the other one. Okay. Mm-hmm. And as you know, I'm getting the permits ready and I'm getting ready to go. Keep in mind, it's like 2007 or something.
Hold on, you back up. So how did you close on both of these houses? Like what, did you go back to the Brampton mortgage lady?
Brampton mortgage. The market was still
times are different.
In 2007.
So you got this, you got both of them mortgage, highly leveraged, right? To be able to make sure that there's loans.
Yeah.
You had to borrow the down
payments.
Over
100% leveraged.
You had to borrow the down payments. Then you went back to Vito to be able to get the loan.
Yeah.
Right. Which was which was with the disbursement. So you're gonna have him pay the contractors.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did you get any guidance from them on the plan? Or were you like, don't worry, you showed me last time, I don't need your help this time?
Yeah, it was rinse and repeat. And basically, you know, maybe the houses were a little bit bigger, but they were basically the exact same houses as the first one. Okay. Same architect, same team. It was like just go, 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 go. But a committee of adjustments on one of them, one of the neighbors who lived in a brand new, beautiful house next door, decided that like mine was too big, even though it was smaller than theirs. And they complained. And not only did they complain, but like the husband sent in a letter and the wife sent in a letter. So it was two complaints. Yeah. And then their buddies three doors down each did the same. So it was like four complaints. And back then, like you got four complaints. It's not happening, right? Yeah. So, but me being the way that I'm wired, they're like, I was like, I can't build this house, eh? Watch what I can do. I shrunk the envelope a little, but I built a bigger house, TK. And so this whole process.
Shrunk the envelope, but built a bigger
shrunk
house.
Shrunk the size, but yeah, I was not covering the second floor originally was not covering the whole main floor.
Okay.
So I shrunk the main floor a bit and then covered the whole second floor and ended up with more square footage than originally. But it's like 6 months later and the other one's already kind of going. I'm about to have permits. Anyways.
And you're paying a lot of juice on that money, that construction loan.
But I'm driving around and all I'm hearing on 680 is that like the States is going to shit. right? And everything is going to hell and something bad is about to happen. And I'm like, and I'm getting these bad feelings and I'm like, maybe I should just like flip these now and get out. And then it's like, no, you're going to make a goddamn fortune. You're going to get a Porsche, bro. You're going to like, this is going to be amazing. You got this. You can be rich, man. This is the best thing ever. You're a genius, bro. You are a genius, right?
Yeah, you
are a real estate genius. You got none Look of how your money easy to steal, this is, right?
You're about to make a whole lot of something.
Oh my God. So
did you
I'm
have a
genius.
Plan on how much you were going to sell them for?
Oh God. You should see the perform. It was great. I was driving the Porsche.
How much was it?
I thought I was going to sell each one of these for $2.1
million. $2.1 million. You just sold 2.1. A smaller one for $1.625, yeah. But you figured Funt screwed you, and you thought maybe I could have gotten $1.7.
Market was humming.
Market
like
was
crazy.
Doing really well, so you were thinking, hey, maybe 2.1.
Bigger houses, better bigger street. Houses.
What was the
approximate humming.
Square footage on those ones?
This was like 3890 or something like that. Just shy of 4,000 square feet. Okay.
All right. So we're going to say 800,000 to round up and we'll say the 750. So you're in about 1.55 each house plus the soft cost juice and all that kind of stuff.
And I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to make $300-400 grand per house.
1.7
right?
Is like your break even.
Right.
Yeah.
So everything is finally on track and things are grooving. And like, I'm learning here. It's my second and third houses that I ever built on my own. And they pour the foundation wrong on one of them and we have to redo the foundation. And like that costs a lot of money. That was not fun. That was a horrible, horrible ordeal. Well, actually there was a lot of problems, not so much with the construction, just with the neighbors. Even like I had this neighbor on that house that like, you're building a big house next door to me. You're going to give me a skylight. Like, what?
Where are they from?
I don't know. Figure it out. You're going to give me skylight? You flood my basement. You're going to, I'm going to sue you. You flood my basement.
I think they're from like Long Island.
Right? Long Island. So, yeah. Oh, I popped tire with my nails on the street. You're going to pay for my tire?
Are they Welsh?
They're basically from the UK. I don't know how you didn't get that. Okay. But
Welsh.
So this lady next door from the UK is just up my ass for everything every day. She ended up suing me and like everything attached to me, but that might be part of the story, might not be, I don't know. But that lady was such a nightmare. Anyways, I finally get the other one with permits and that thing is it's like the dead of winter, okay? And I gotta go. Like there's no waiting for the thaw, right? The excavator, it's like middle of January, it's minus 50 with the wind chill. And this machine, like, it's just not starting. And I'm like, you gotta go, man. And I'm freaking out because there's so much money on the line and the market's like, I feel like it's starting to like cave in on me and like, I'm scared and I'm in way over my head and I'm just yelling at everybody about everything all the time. It's like Crazyville, right? Because I'm pushing to get things done because I feel like this impending doom. And I'm pretending like everything's fine, but I'm like feeling like it's just like too much and things don't sound good when I listen to the radio and I read the newspaper. And so I'm just trying to push and get ahead and get ahead and get ahead. And this is construction and nobody wants to fucking help you. They're all trying to fuck you all the time. So, you know, oh, sorry, my car broke down. And oh, Jesus. This other guy needed my help. I'll be there tomorrow. And tomorrow turns to like next Friday somehow. Or it's just like one thing after the other. And I'm stressed out and freaking out. And all hell's breaking loose. And I'm running out of money personally. Like, it's just a nightmare. And anyways, like, there's no choice but to just keep going and keep going. And
what's
so,
fun saying?
Funt's gone. I don't know what happened. Some personal stuff actually happened with Funt and his wife. I guess I shouldn't talk about this stuff. But anyway,
so after
it got
the
weird.
Of the
we
two,
fought.
You were
and
kind
then
of
I,
like, hey, this guy's not really looking
agent.
Out. Okay, well, he's not looking out for your best interests.
I needed to put the houses on the market, even though they weren't finished being built, because I was getting nervous. And I was like, maybe somebody will buy it unfinished and we can customize the finishes, which... Yeah. Yeah, well,
I have
listen.
The ugliest house at Leslie and York Mills that I'll show you one day. That, oh my God, it's a monster. It's not getting finished. It's like 6,000 square feet, and it's been like being built for like 10 years.
Right.
Yeah. Beautiful exterior. Inside, absolutely nothing inside.
Really?
It's just nothing.
That's
not
crazy.
Even, yeah, nothing. Not one thing other than
I've worked
something.
On some projects that felt like that. That was the case. Believe
this
me.
This guy's not finishing. He's made it very clear.
Not finishing. That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
That's not going to end well for anybody.
No. And of course he wants an astronomical amount of money, but he's a good guy. So I think if anyone's going to be lucky to get a decent buck, it's him.
Right. So anyways, I figure the best move is to like list it off market, like exclusive with the area specialist, the guy who sells everything in the area that, you know, through his network and through his other listings, he'll be able to mention this one.
He's got the hair, right? He's got the suede jacket.
Yeah.
Of course he's going to be good at what he does. And what happened?
He sold everything in the area. Anyway, so somehow we agreed on, I guess, the price that I thought that they were worth. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember him fighting me on it. And we listed exclusive for months and nothing ever happened, right? Uh-huh. Nothing ever happened. Finally, after so long, one of them was finished, okay? One of them was finished. So we put a real listing out and we sold it.
Why was it so long to take to get them finished?
Because I hired this painter, Carlos. Carlos, okay?
Caused the delays?
You want to know? This is the craziest, stupidest shit I have ever done in my life.
Okay.
The guy who painted the first house, Carlos, wonderful Cuban man, beautiful, amazing painter, okay? I found him on some other site. Mm. And so he painted my first house and it went pretty well. He was really slow, but he did such a beautiful job that it was like worth it, right? Because I was a great builder and I wanted the best paint job of all time. And he wasn't expensive, but he was slow as fuck. Anyways, so I told him on the second one, please, you got to speed it up. Like hire somebody to help you, okay? And like let's double the time here, or cut it in half, I mean. But he had a guy for about a week and then the guy disappeared. And then next thing you know, like what should take weeks took months, TK. And me being a nice guy, yeah, just sat there. There was a lot of detail in these houses, but I just sat there and he just kept taking forever. Then he started sleeping in the house so that he could be there late and he could be there early. But that, in hindsight, wasn't the real reason that he was sleeping in the house for a month. And taking for goddamn ever to finish.
So no rent. He didn't have to pay rent. He's like, I got to drag this on as long as I can.
And this is just this dumb, young idiot with giant balls, just like trying to figure out how to build houses in Toronto. Okay.
Yeah. With Carlos the Cuban.
With Carlos the Cuban fucking painter.
Yeah.
And so he pushed that house into a different market. It's been a while, but it was in court. There's a lot of court in this backstory here, unfortunately.
But
Carlos fucked me, but I was such a nice guy. I hired him again on the next one. And that was just the dumbest move ever, on top of the dumbest move ever. So what happened on that first one, when I finally got it built and I finally got it sold, and actually, what happened here? This is actually kind of funny what happened here. So I switched the agent. Hunt was gone. I gave it to this guy, Echo J. And I don't know if you heard about Echo J.
He's still around. Yeah.
He's still around.
I've talked to him. He's a nice guy. He's a gentleman.
He's a nice guy. But Echo J, fuck you too. Even though you were right in the end, you were a fucking asshole.
Yeah.
Like a real fucking asshole. And he really fucked me. But he was right. And I fucked myself at the same time.
He told you the truth.
Yeah. Well, he told me the truth after he fucking lied to me for months, right? Yeah, we'll list it for $2.1 million off the market and we'll market it for you. We'll do whatever we can. And when it came time to list it, it was like, I think you should list it for $1.6 million. And I was like, what? We thought it was worth $2.1 million. Like, it was listed exclusive yesterday for $2.1 million. Now you think I should front, like, beat the market and go 1.6 and just get rid of this thing?
Yeah.
That sucks, right? That's fucking horrible. But it was in the manner in which he did it, because I went to his office and we were having a talk. And then I said, well, you know what? If you think 1.6, I think you should I'd like to cancel our contract. And he got up slowly from his desk and he walked past me and he closed the door gently and he went back to his desk and he said, you little fucking piece of shit. it's my listing and you're not going to talk to me like that. And you're not going to do anything like that. And we're going to ride out this listing. Okay. Mm. And I was like, uh-oh, what the fuck just happened there? I don't know, yeah. even know what to do with this. Right. Yeah. And so I left that office with my tail between my legs.
Like, shit.
Yeah. But so hold on a sec. So we get this offer. And what happens is I end up selling it to a lawyer and a banker. And I didn't know that they were a lawyer and a banker. And so one day I'm sitting in my little minivan watching the houses being constructed. And this lady walks up to me. She's just a lady walking down the street. And she's like, hey, how you doing? I said, good. How you doing? She's like, good. Just going for a walk. What are you saying? And we start getting in a conversation about the market and what I think. And I have no idea who she is. Okay. And I'm telling her, like, I don't know, like, it's not doing so good. I'm kind of nervous. And like, I think prices are dropping and blah, blah, blah. Guess who that bitch was?
The banker.
The buyer. The lawyer.
The lawyer. Okay?
Mm. The lawyer. So what does she do? Next thing I know. Funt or no, Echo J's calling me. We got a haircut situation here, right? Because I'm telling them I'm running offer? Scared. Conditional offer on financing. Yeah. And then so the wife goes home to the banker and they say, oh, guess what? We can't get the mortgage that we thought we'd be able to get. We're going to have to take it for 1.625%. It was at like 1.5750 or something like that.
1.6750.
It was 1.75%. I ended up having to take 1.650 or I don't know. It's online. It was a fucking haircut. It's horrible. It was disgusting. But she's
1.7 was your break even.
How gross is that though? That like she came and pretended she was just like some normal person and had this conversation with me. And how dumb am I that I told her the
just
truth?
Some random
for God's
stranger.
Sake.
Yeah,
some random stranger.
Period.
And
these are
that's
all
just me.
You learn,
it's like
though.
This idiot who just talks randomly on YouTube all the time. Like
you learn. You learn a lot from
right? that. Mm-hmm. So anyways, I sell the first one, but what happens is when that haircut happens, it's like at the last second, and somehow the last second of this offer coincides with the last second of the listing agreement, right? So I'm like, oh, okay, like I know I got this buyer, right? But I don't want Echo J to get the money. I'm going to call Funt and say, hey, Funt, at 12:10, I need you to call these people and bring me their offer. Right. Mm. And that's what happened. The offer expired. Okay. Funt called these people in the background. So, yeah. I don't know what the hell happened, but like I sold it through Funt. Echo J didn't get the deal. Funt got the deal.
Okay. All right.
Is that crazy or what?
It is what it is. But anyways, we won't talk about holdover now. We've already been.
I know there's a holdover and maybe, listen, it's 2007.
That's fine.
But what? So that was like at the beginning of
the
market
deal with the bank
starting
and the lawyer,
tank.
But this is a break even, maybe a loss deal.
Yeah, it was a loss. At the end of the day, it
was a
loss. Or maybe I made 25 grand or something like
that. There was no money being made there. Okay.
Yeah, I couldn't even pay back
my
line
one.
Of credit. That's
the
first
one's
one.
The other one's 4 months behind.
Carlos is still painting.
Carlos
is still painting and sleeping in the house and the market is tanking. And I finally sell that house, TK. 1.35 or something like that. And I'm getting offers like regular for 1.1 and just going, no, it can't be the best offer. I must have learned my lesson. There's got to be a better offer. And the best thing I could get was 1.35. And it was
at least he stuck it to the bank and the lawyer. Because they were at 1.6.
I guess they overpaid. Yeah.
They overpaid. Suckers.
Yeah. That worked out to my benefit. Woohoo. Right. anyway, so it's conditional offer over there too. It was for like 1.35. And I didn't want anybody to know. I told my parents, I think. I told my in-laws because they had lent me some money.
But that money I borrowed from you guys. You know, I don't know if I'm going to be able to pay you back like today,
like right away,
or maybe even ever. But, you know, I learned a really good lesson.
I love you. No, I just told them, I was like, okay, I sold it. Don't tell anybody, please. Cause like, I'm probably gonna have to like sell my house. Like just right. Meanwhile, I forgot about this. While all these are for sale, my house is for sale. Okay, yeah. Where I live, I forgot that. Like,
we need to come
some
up
point
to raise
in
some
this
money.
Story, there's a point in time where I have to go home and break down to my wife and say, I fucked up. We're losing this house, I think. Yeah. Like, we got to sell something, right? Because it's either that or Vinny's going to need his money, right? Or he's going to find another way to get his money.
Yeah, and the kidney right? market's still pretty good right now.
Well, they
there
were
right
dealing
now.
In cement shoes, I think, back in those days, right? And I was nervous that I wouldn't float.
Yeah.
So I, we sold our house where we lived. That was the first thing that actually sold was our house. And so that was pretty crazy too. We listed our house and nobody was buying it. And then all of a sudden, sorry if I'm boring you, but all of a sudden,
late at night, this is not
I got multiple offers on this thing, but I did not do well on this house at all. I had to sell my house. I had to rent a house. My wife, I mean, imagine. Oh, what a nightmare. Like, I had to get rid of my cars. I was driving a minivan. Like, I had nice cars before this. Like, I was doing pretty good before all this stupidity, right? My wife had to trade her car in. It was just like a nightmare from hell. And then we lost on the first house, and then the second one sold, and then the condition. So we sell the other house. We tell everybody, please don't tell anybody. Like, this is embarrassing enough. I just sold my house. Like, I don't tell anybody that we sold it and what the price is, because it may not go through, right? Anyways, so my father-in-law, he's got a big mouth, and he goes and tells his sister. And then I get a call from my wife's cousin saying, oh, we heard you sold the house for like this price. Well, if we knew that, like, we'd buy it for this. And it was like a little bit more. And it was like, if you can get out of that deal, we'll pay you more. And we don't have an agent, so like, you can keep more money, right? It'll be better for everybody, right? Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, how do we get out of this house? And then I think there's maybe a week left on the condition. And so like 10 minutes or 15 minutes, an hour before the condition needed to be lifted, we got a call saying like, they need more time. They didn't get the financing.
I was perfect. Like,
oh, there's an out. I was like, okay, let me think about it. I'll get back to you.
Phone off.
We let the thing run out. And before that even happened, I called my cousins. I go, are you guys fucking serious? Because you got to bring me an offer like now, because this thing's about to expire. And if you're serious, I'll let it expire. Right. And that turned into like, oh yeah, like, we're not going to give you the extra anymore, but like, we'll still take it. And it was still a better deal for me. Mm-hmm. Anyways, so I ended up selling it to my like wife's cousins, and it was bittersweet because I had to go to the house all the time now. And this is literally, like I posted before, this is the house that destroyed my life. I mean, my way of living was completely decimated. I went from owning and doing great in these like flips, and I was on my third house, and like, I had a good job. And then next thing you know, I have nothing, and I'm digging my way out of all this fucking shit. But here we are, TK. Here we are. And for where, listen, you lose money on a bunch of houses, and I mean, people still want their money. Right. Just because you lost, a lot of people don't just say, like, don't worry about it.
Yeah. There's very few loans out there that are going to come to you that are not, subject to repayments, you know, like,
that's right.
There's a reason why the person or organization is giving you that loan. It's because they have a method to collect.
Well, and I didn't want to go bankrupt. And thank God I have not ever gone bankrupt to this day. And believe me, like, there were days where it seemed like it would probably have been easier to just go bankrupt. And there was, very close, very, very close on many occasions. But through sheer stupidity and determination and perseverance and persistence, TK, I just figured out what the next thing to do was for the next day and did it. And now, you know, things are looking good. But in this market right now, there must be a lot of people that are about to resonate with that story, that think they're about to resonate with that story. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, you know what?
Like, what's the lesson? Yeah, coming out of it right now. Because I've been talking about this a lot, and I had another one today that I was talking to someone about, and I'm like, you know, it sucks to lose money, but when it's inevitable, it's like, you are bleeding thousands of dollars a month. This was a rental. It was a condo. And it was, you know, a couple grand a month that they're bleeding. So it's like you're losing a couple grand a month. You're down $25,000 a year. You're hanging on for dear life. You're stressed. You're not sleeping. You're not eating well. You're not working those extra shifts. You're not doing the things that you need to do. You're really just like taking years off of your life. You know, the market doesn't look like it's getting any better. It's getting worse. Yes, you're going to have to sell that condo for $150,000 loss, whatever it is.
Every fucking plan you come up with hits a brick wall.
Right?
Yeah.
And so it's like you're borrowing the 25 grand that you're losing every year. Like,
my interest on that house,
years now, you're still down, you know, all the interest payments and all that kind of stuff. The market's down even further now. Like, what was that worth it? You know?
My interest payments were 15 grand a month on this one house. Yeah. And people were like, just hang on for longer. Like, can't you just hold on? The market's going to turn. The market's going to turn. Just hang on. Can't you just move into it?
But it would have cost you $150,000 in juice to hold on for that 10 months.
Right? But what actually happened is like the market bounced back and went roaring past where prices were when it went, right? Like it roared back in 10 months. And if I did wait that 10 months, it would have been a very, very, very different story for this guy. Like very different. The trajectory.
And there's lots of people who could hold on right now and will do just fine.
For sure.
People who will be, you know, 10 years from now laughing that, you know, that happened to them. But there's other people who over the next 12 to 24 months are going to be forced to sell anyways. Those guys need to make a difficult decision today.
Well, I'll tell you, the decision is definitely a hell of a lot easier to make from a younger perspective than I think an older perspective. Because now, look, I made that decision in my early 30s. I was full of energy, okay? I was younger. My body parts moved the way that I wanted them to move for the most part. Like, there was nothing that could stop me back then. But now I'm 48, TK, and I don't have the same level of energy. My body doesn't work the same way. I'm lazier. I feel more entitled because I have a small level of success. You know, I don't want to do all that shit. And so I can only imagine for somebody older than me facing this situation, it's fucking scary as fuck. Mm-hmm. But I imagine that if you're, I went through it when I was so young and stupid that I learned a bunch of lessons, but like, had I had a little bit more experience with the way things worked and I had maybe even known to understand, you know, world economics, macroeconomics, maybe even a little microeconomics would have been a good idea to know, right?
Any economics at that point.
But if I had just kind of not been like stuck in this little Toronto bubble and this like perpetual market that just constantly shot upwards, right? If I knew what was going on in the past and I knew what was going on around me and I believed my gut feel from all the stuff I was hearing, right? Like there's a million lessons in this stupidity, but the biggest lesson is like, if I just stopped, right? If I just went and got a job for somebody else, right? If I gave up, it never, ever could have got to the place it is now. And I swear to God, like I was thinking, I knew we were going to talk about this before the show. And I was thinking before, I was like, man, like, it's pretty fucking good right now. It's not
good right now. Exactly.
Wonderful, like, and perfect or anything, but it's like from where I came from to where I'm at, when I was really just kind of dissecting that and thinking about it, I was like, holy shit, man, because the hole that I dug myself on those two houses, if you do the math, okay. And don't forget, like there's still taxes on the sale of a new house. Right. So like,
but you also,
the real math, the debt was like,
you got killed. You got killed. But the 10 years that you spent, you know, doing those deals, doing development deals, learning about the, you know, sort of development fabric within the city, having all that experience, knowing not to build single family houses anymore, because that's not where the real money is.
No, it's
you got put into the, you know, the high rise and mid rise, you know, development world, and you got to learn the best real estate, in my mind, the best real estate to be involved with. This is the biggest money, the biggest players, the most profits, everything. So it's like, that's where you wanted to be. Like, this is the ideal place to be. And I don't think you would have got there. I think you would have been a successful home builder and you would have been running around building houses like State View Homes, and you could have gone belly up at 50.
Well, that's the thing, is right? 1,000,000%. If I didn't get killed back then, yeah, I just would have got killed the next time around. Like, maybe it'd be now, and I probably would have lost. I would have lost a bloody fortune. Back then, I lost like a little bit of money. I had so much runway. And that was the real decision, was like, it's probably easier to just fold right now and start fresh, right? And just claw my way back and go, than it is to like figure out how to just bury myself more and more and more and more, right? Now, if I had a crystal ball, for God's sakes, and I knew it was going to bounce back so quick, I would have found that money somehow.
Another veto.
But I'll be honest with you, I tried every veto under every bridge, everywhere. Like, it wasn't happening. There wasn't enough vetoes.
You already tapped him out. Yeah. Everybody, he was like, listen, buddy, you need to sell that house. What was he telling you at that time?
Like, you know, the clock is ticking. Right. Yeah. Now, he was actually a wonderful guy. At the end of this thing, he gave me a discount on the interest. It was supposed to be 12 points back then, and I think he reduced it to 10, which he didn't have to do at all. I mean, he could have taken those houses, because he gave me a lot of extra time to try and get rid of them. But I'll tell you, like, if anybody made a goddamn fortune on those houses, is that guy. That guy, off of those three first houses I built, made a bloody fortune. And he had no risk, like first mortgage, first position.
What do you mean no risk?
What's his risk? Taking my house?
I dealt with a power sale down by in Guildwood, back on onto Lake Ontario, and they, you know, had the person, they gave all those distributions out too early. They gave her a first mortgage, 1.6, then they gave her a second mortgage of like 800,000, and they ended up selling the house after they took it, because it was like just gutted and nothing was really done, for 1.6. So they lost a fortune, and it was like 14% interest. Well,
somebody didn't underwrite that loan well, I think, because nothing dropped that crazy.
No, it was completely mishandled. Yeah, and completely mishandled. The funds were distributed way she was sending the reports and all that stuff, and they were giving her the money. But like when I got there, I mean, the house was gutted. If anybody had just walked over there and seen what she had done, they would have realized that she did no work. And I knew the lady too. That's the funny part. She was like an old client of mine. So like after it was all said and done, she was like somebody that I was showing houses to, making offers for at one point, and then she disappeared on me.
It's a crazy market. Darryl, people do crazy things.
I'm glad you screwed up big time in 2008 and 2009. And I think it's pretty obvious that you screwed up. Like, I don't want to be like, oh, you was bad luck. You made all these decisions that were incredibly risky. And then, you know, the market didn't bail you out. And so, yeah, you got screwed. But I think you learned a lot.
I didn't get screwed. I definitely screwed myself 100%.
Screwed yourself. But what I mean
the biggest lesson of the whole thing, and something you can't control, is that timing is everything. Okay. Yes. Timing is everything.
But you were so
you can have the best idea.
I'm being honest with you here. I'm trying to tell you. Like,
oh, I know.
You were so over leveraged on those deals. You bought two properties, one you didn't even see that, you know, whatever. You had fun
doing
all sorts of shady things.
Oh, yeah. Reckless.
You had the painter Carlos in the house for way too long.
Oh, yeah.
You had everything. You know, yeah.
Expensive.
You talked to
plumbers.
The lady outside the house with the dog.
All crazy.
Had all
stupid.
These little tiny details that were just like, okay, you screwed up. Oops, you're
I
young
totally
and stupid.
Fucked
I'm still
the
young
whole
and stupid.
Thing up.
It's all good.
But if you go check them out, and you should.
They're beautiful houses.
16 Grange Mill, 77
Guys,
Grange
check it out.
Mill. Check them out.
We're going to have to cut out part of the front of this show just to fit it in, maybe.
To fit it in, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. Or just do an extra long episode.
Yeah, nobody.
The longest episode we've ever done.
I don't even know if that's true. Is it? Might be.
Well, maybe one
hopefully
the
there's today. Something here for somebody. TK, thank you for listening to
all
of that.
It was a great story.
I just felt like, you know, this is the environment that people are definitely either in that or heading towards that, or
there's
just gone through it.
Who's got Carlos sleeping in their house right now,
if
getting
your
screwed.
Is sleeping
right?
In your
there's
house.
There's somebody out there right now. No.
You find another painter right now. TK, it's been fun. It's always fun.